welcome to the Women in Diplomacy podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Sumnicht. This episode is part of a special series with the women of NATO. They are taking us to the front lines of their work as they prepare for the 2016 Warsaw Summit. Ambassador Carrie Buck is Canada's first female ambassador to NATO. Her career spans decades of negotiating on human rights issues and fighting for women's equality around the world. It's particularly special that we get to hear her career advice today, because today is Canada Day. Happy birthday, Canada. Tell us about your work. What does your typical day at NATO look like?
Well, my day starts quite early to get the family organized before I head out through Brussels' bad traffic to get to NATO. But when I get to the mission, our first thing in the morning is to meet with the core mission team. Canada's got integrated civilian and military staff together in one mission, and that's really important for us. We make sure there's one Government of Canada, one whole of Canada position that we take forward at NATO. I encourage my staff to push back. We have healthy policy debate to make sure that we're all in the right place, and then I head off to the North Atlantic Council. And the North Atlantic Council at NATO is all 28 allies. And we do a number of different things there. We'll focus on the major political security challenges of the day, what NATO should do about them. Sometimes it's a political response. Sometimes it's a defense operational response. Sometimes it's just situational awareness to say, okay, what threats are coming our way. And then I translate what happens at the NAC, at the North Atlantic Council, back to headquarters at home, back to ministers at home, to make sure they're comfortable with the direction we're going. And that's a typical day, but at least six times a year I have either a foreign minister, our defense minister, or a prime minister at a NATO meeting. And those days will be spent in a flurry with all 28 ministers or 28 leaders sitting at the table deciding how what NATO should do.
Wow. It sounds like very fast-paced work and perhaps high-pressure work. What are the biggest challenges in your job, and any tips for overcoming them?
Two challenges. The main one for me personally is work-life balance. And I've learned over the years of being a diplomat, working on peace and conflict issues, that the things I remember most about my work aren't always the work accomplishments. You know, I spent about a year negotiating for the Beijing World Conference on Women. That was great. We achieved a lot. But the thing I remembered most from that experience was the half day spent at the Great Wall of China with my team, or going on a human rights trip to Iran and meeting with Iranian officials on human rights. But the thing I remember most was the trip to Isfahan and the Friday Mosque, for instance. So you have to take time to smell the roses, and you have to take time with your family. It's really important. So I'm ruthless about kicking myself out of the office at the end of the day at a reasonable time. I mean, I'll hide the BlackBerry or the smartphone at the end of the day and do my work after kids are asleep, but I've got to clear that time with the family. And my hardest job as a boss is making sure people leave the office. You never get all of your work done every day, particularly when you're working on things that we work on, conflicts and events. The world changes every day. You can't always get it all done, and you need to reserve your mental energy for when the really bad stuff hits. So go home, spend time with your family, and that's been the hardest challenge. And then the second challenge is about the world. It's about reacting to the world and some very hard things that happen. I've been working on human rights, terrorism, conflict for a long time now, and the world's a very complex place, and it can get frustrating sometimes. You see such incremental progress, and sometimes you see reversals. So the most important thing and the most challenging thing is to keep an eye on the positive, keep pushing forward and carving a space for Canada to make a difference, knowing that some of these problems are really difficult.
Were there any particular experiences while you were growing up that let you know you were a good fit for this career? What made you want to work in international relations?
I never planned on going into international relations. I fell into it. I started my career working as a human rights lawyer, working on Charter of Rights issues at home. But the call of the wild, the call of international affairs hit me. I come from a family of adventurers. My grandfather, my mom's side, was a mining engineer who worked in Peru and Chile before moving to northern Canada. And my other grandfather was a bush pilot who opened up the north in Canada. And then my husband's grandfather was the guy who signed the NATO treaty, the Washington Treaty for Canada. So it was kind of inevitable, I guess, that I was drawn to the international sphere. And when you work on human rights, it's kind of a natural segue to work on human rights internationally and then work on conflict and peace and security issues. So one thing led to the other, and here I am at NATO.
So exciting. I can't believe that fact about your father, your grandfather-in-law. So a little bit of trivia for our listeners out there. You are Canada's ambassador and permanent representative to the North Atlantic Council. Do you mind explaining what does that mean, especially permanent representative? Does that mean that you yourself have permanent representation on NATO for life? Or is that Canada's assignment to the North Atlantic Council?
It's a term that's used for ambassadors who are accredited to multilateral organizations. I'm a permanent representative to NATO. When I worked in New York, I worked on UN issues for a number of years, and I worked for our permanent representative to the United Nations in New York at that time. So it's just a term of art in diplomacy for ambassadors who are accredited to multilateral organizations. I wish it were permanent, but we are assigned here for a fixed term by our government, and I expect to rotate out of here. I've just been here for a year, so I'm still learning a lot about NATO. I've got a few years left before I'm rotated out of here to something else.
Currently in Canada and around the world, there's much excitement at the new administration of Prime Minister Trudeau. He is famously a feminist politician. Can you share with us, has the new administration changed your work at all?
Our election was last October, and Prime Minister Trudeau came in and announced immediately that he was going to ensure gender parity on his cabinet. He carried through with that. He has also indicated that there will be more women ambassadors appointed by his government, and he's starting to do so. And he said that he's a feminist, which, if you add those things up, really does... it gives a kick to some of the work I've been focusing on here on women, peace, and security agenda. And as Canada's first woman ambassador to NATO, it's a good message for me personally. But Canada's got a really long history of pushing hard on gender equality and on equal rights of women and men in international work. I personally have been working on it for a long time. So Prime Minister Trudeau is carrying on a tradition that Canada has been working on for a long time, as I said, and we've got, a fair bit of credibility on this front. I mean, I started my career as a diplomat working on violence against women at the time of the Balkan Wars, and I had the good opportunity of being... the one who launched the work at the UN, at the time, UN Human Rights Commission on Violence Against Women, led the first resolution, appointed the first special rapporteur on violence against women, negotiated rape as a war crime through a couple of the world conferences at that time, and have carried that work forward. So it's a thrill for me to be able to integrate women's rights into what we're doing here at NATO. We're doing all right. I said I'm one of Canada's first female ambassador to NATO, but right now there are only three women ambassadors at the North Atlantic Council out of 28 allies. So there's a bit of work to be done. We need more work to integrate women into our militaries. We need more work on integration of women into peace processes, ensuring that there's more women's participation. around peace operations such as those that we do at NATO. So there's more work to be done, but there's been some really important progress as well.
It's certainly an exciting time in history. So I'd like to hear from you at the front line. What are topics in international relations that you feel need more research or help?
I think we're at a very tricky point in international relations, a point where people might have less faith in institutions, less faith in governments, or perhaps less faith in the multilateral level. I don't think that's right, but I think it's a fact that we're grappling with. So we have a world of that's more about networks, a world where you've got growing numbers of non-state actors, good ideas, bad ideas, people moving faster across borders and through networks than we've ever had before. So the traditional locus of diplomacy, the state, doesn't quite do it. So we need a new way of thinking about diplomacy, how we reach out to people to better connect with people, how we reach out to better connect with communities, how we can push forward international law so communities understand and respect international law a little better. It's important in conflict situations that this happen, and that helps bring more value, not just value to diplomacy and more legitimacy to diplomacy, but it also helps reinforce a rules-based international system that is really, really important. There are more conflicts in the last 4 years than we've seen in the last quarter century. That's not a good trend. So, as I said, it's a tricky point in international relations, and some good work on how you democratize diplomacy, I think, would be very, very helpful. Then from inside NATO, we've done a good job. We can do a better job, but we've done a good job of thinking through how women's human rights, how gender is integrated into out-of-area military operations. So, for instance, in Afghanistan, we, Canada, and other allies did a lot of work on making sure that, for instance, we did a lot of training of Afghan women police in Kandahar. That was really important, a really important signal. We did a lot of work in ISAF to make sure the girls could go back to school. So we have some important lessons learned on how to do that in out-of-area operations. But as NATO focuses more on collective defense, we need to think very carefully how we keep that focus on gender at the same time. So that needs some thinking as well.
What career advice would you give to the young women out there listening that might be interested in pursuing a career path that is similar to yours?
Again, I didn't plan on following this career path. One thing led to another, and it ended up in a place where it all makes sense for me, but it was never planned. So what I guess my advice would be is follow your curiosity. Keep your curiosity and focus on what sparks your interest. And if you do that, then that'll give you the energy and the passion to keep moving forward, because you also need perseverance. There's a lot of work sometimes in getting where you want to go on an issue. You need a bit of courage to do your homework, state your views, listen to others, always listen to others, but hold true to your principles and put forward your positions. And particularly when you're working inside a bureaucracy, it's important to have that courage, have that curiosity, keep it going, and do enough work to build your credibility. And then it'll work out, I think. I mean, there's always reversals. Everybody has career reversals or tepid periods in their career. That's okay. So the perseverance to keep going as well. Make a plan if you can. That's great. I was never organized that way. It's not the way I function. But if your plan includes those things that you really care about, then it will work out.